Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode number 32, and today's date is February 22nd, 2017. This is Carrie, and I'm your special guest referee, host for this week, since Russ is on vacation. Where is he? Who knows? I think I heard something having to do with a cartoon mouse or him trying out at the WWE Performance Center, or maybe both. I'm not quite sure. But anyways, joining me this week, as usual, is our podcast namesake, Kent. Kent, how you doing?
This is weird being the first one to ask something. I feel like goofy inside. That was a Disney reference.
I see what you did there.
So, I wonder what the fuck Russ is doing, and I wonder if he got a tan. I have lots of questions. I also wonder if his hair is really wet. I mean, if you're going to do it, you may as well do it all the way, right?
Oh, absolutely. But that was what I came up with to start.
Fair enough. I mean, he's probably realistically down there, like, mourning the double-edged sword. That's my guess. So, all right. This hasn't been a bad week. I mean, aside from, like, everybody fucking dying, right?
That's true.
We had a lot of death.
Yes, which I will get to later on in our show.
All right, so I'm going to just not even touch on that right now. Yeah, well, I'll let you go with it first.
All right, so for our new listeners, welcome to the fun, and to our returning listeners, welcome back. For those first-time listeners out there, what we do is talk about wrestling. We discuss topics that interest us on either Raw or SmackDown for the week, as well as a few fun segments like What's in the Email Bag, Russ's Man Crush of the Week, My Big Wrestling Story of the Week, currently renamed the Rollins Report, What is Upsetting Kent, and Guess the Wrestler. And in addition to all that fun, tonight we are also going to have a fantasy redraft for the women's division. Why? Because I think we can all agree that SmackDown's current division is way better than Raw's. But first, let's discuss our topics for the week. Kent, how about you kick things off? What segment from this week did you want to discuss?
You know, it's always funny because I never remember what the hell I chose. And there it is. All right. So, I wanted to talk about what I think is, oddly enough, the most technically sound match from Raw, which was the main event, which is cool. I mean, the main event usually should be the best match on the show. It just usually doesn't involve 770 pounds of man meat when we're talking about Braun Strowman and Big Show. Neither one's known for their technical wrestling acumen. Neither one's just not known for wrestling, really, in general. They're just beefy powerhouses, and yet they actually put on a hell of a show. Both guys held their own. They did wrestling holds. They told a story. The match flowed well together. Like, I mean, I every once in a while we've seen Big Show do good things. I remember a year or so ago, like, him and Roman Reigns had a couple good matches, which Big Show carried Roman when Roman wasn't on top of the world quite yet. Now, I mean, Braun's just like this lump of clay. He's just waiting to be molded, and shit, like, maybe they found something here with Big Show. Like, Big Show might be ready to, like, he's always willing to put people over, but I don't know if he's had an opportunity to really teach many wrestlers. Because there hasn't been any giants that have really come by in a long time that were young and athletic enough. I don't know. I really just liked that match. What'd you think about it?
All in all, I thought it was a really good match. I was actually kind of shocked because usually match of the night is not words you usually hear to describe anything involving Big Show or, up to this point, Braun Strowman. But as I said in the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, Maybe it took Wrestling Big Show to get a really good match out of Braun. Maybe he learned something this week and he's applying it. And if so, kudos to him because it looked good. I even watched the recap of the match just to make sure that I wasn't seeing things. And it was a really sound match. It had kind of a big fight feel, which, again, you usually don't get from a big show match.
Yeah, I just didn't expect it. Like, I knew they'd advertised it, and actually when they'd advertised for it last week, I kind of groaned, to be perfectly honest, because I just don't know what the hell they're doing with Big Show. Like, we know the rumor is that him and Shaq are having a match, and really, Big Show doesn't need to be on a crazy win streak, because we know that if he's going against Shaq, he's going job to Shaq, and whatever. Like, he doesn't need any hype. He's a multi-time world champion, and he's huge. That's all the hype any man really needs. But I'd like to see Big Show heading into Mania looking, representing very well, and even in loss, he did a very good job. So, I don't know, I found it very, I was just really impressed by everything that happened there. You know, I've been wondering how they're going to do this whole Big Show thing with Shaq. Like, we have Fastlane coming up, right? And Big Show doesn't have a match, which seems kind of stupid at this point. Like, at this point, shouldn't Big Show, like, if he's going to have, I don't want to say a marquee match, but it is kind of a marquee match. It's not a main event, but it is a special attraction match at WrestleMania. At what point does WWE say, hey, we should probably start hyping up this guy? Or are they just like, screw it, we don't need to hype up this guy, he's just large?
I mean, you would think that they would at least start promoting this. However, given the fact that they're still kind of promoting for Fastlane, maybe they're focusing on that, and then we'll start seeing promotion after that. But really, you would think at this point, you're getting ready for one of your biggest pay-per-views of the year, if not the biggest pay-per-view of the year. You think you might want to start trying to, you know, get eyes on the screen. Subscribers to the network.
Yeah, I mean, Christ, before you know, they're going to start, you know, maybe airing commercials during pay-per-views or something. I don't know. It's getting to a desperate point, so I don't know. As a matter of fact, Fastlane in and of itself, what do we got, another week? 2 weeks? I don't even know what we have. I think this coming Monday is going to be the last Monday before Fastlane. Right? I don't know. How long ago was Elimination Chamber? Was that two podcasts ago?
I think so. No, that was last week.
Alright, so we have... Wow. Alright, I mean, I'm just not feeling Fastlane. Are you at all feeling hyped? I mean, I know we don't generally like Raw, but Raw hasn't been terrible this month. I mean, it really hasn't been that bad, but yeah, I don't give any fucks about Fastlane at the moment.
I think they just haven't developed it enough for me to care. What do we got? We got Bailey and Charlotte, Take Two. Roman and Braun. Not really excited. Yeah. And Owens and Goldberg. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. That's something that just does things for nobody. There's just who is this? It's Enzo and Cass, right? They're the ones going against Gallows and Anderson.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're. That was exciting.
I feel bad for Enzo and Cass because although I know they're over, but I just feel like they were a missed opportunity once again. I always feel like so many things are missed opportunities, because you see the success stories when you see somebody like Alexa, or even to a lesser extent, like Carmella. Carmella, as far as I'm concerned, is a success story because she came up with zero hype, and she still like is featured, maybe not every week on SmackDown, but when she is, doesn't come off terrible or anything. Then you have Enzo and Cass, and they just seem like this endless loop of, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I really don't know. I don't know what the hell their point has been so far. They start off like in a tag team title picture, kind of. And then I don't even know what they feuded, who they feuded with for whatever reason. I have no idea. What the hell did they do last year? Like, they feuded with something, somebody, right? Like, there was somebody that they had to feud with between that and, like, the Rusev thing, right? Who the hell they feud with?
I cannot remember. That's how memorable it was.
Yeah, that's my point, is that they've been up on the main roster for almost a year now, and we're sitting here thinking, what the fuck have they done? Kind of bad.
Oh, wait, I think I remember, didn't they? No. They wrestled with John Cena against AJ and Gallows and Anderson. Because I saw that when I was at Battleground.
Yeah, was it Gallows and Anderson that they kept feuding with maybe after, like, the draft?
Quite possibly. Sounds about right.
They also had, like, a mini feud with the Shining Stars, didn't they?
I don't know.
I feel like it lasted for maybe a month. I don't even know, though. But either way, like, that's a waste of a year for a team that is over as much as they are. I don't know. But with that being said, let's talk about the Raw, or not the, let's talk about your topic.
All right, so this week, I really enjoyed the SmackDown Battle Royal. It was a great, great match, a lot of action, furthering storylines. And then you had that controversial ending with AJ and Luke. Makes me wonder where they're going with this, hopefully, but it's SmackDown, so it's probably something good. I mean, as I said in the blog, 90s.com/wrestling, we're gonna probably get Luke at and Bray at Mania. It's just gonna be a question of which individuals are also in the match with them. And the other thing I mentioned is, man, that crowd reaction for Luke at the end was amazing. What were your thoughts on that match, Kent?
I liked the match a lot. And, yeah, the crowd, you know, there was times where I was just like, are they booing or are they saying Luke? Because sometimes it's tough to tell with crowds what the hell. There was a point during, I think it was 205 last night, I have no idea what the hell that crowd was chanting, but I was intrigued nonetheless. So every once in a while, like, I have no idea what the hell the crowd's chanting, and, like, Luke and Boo, they can sound very similar, but by the end, it was very cemented in my mind that they were absolutely chanting for Luke, and that was cool as shit. Alright, so when I watch this stuff, as you know, I take a lot of notes, and so here's something that was bothering me, is we have this, like, Battle Royal, we have 10 guys in it, and they kind of did, like, a vignette for each guy, or backstage something for each guy before the Battle Royal, and, like, Dean Ambrose is in a room with Baron Corbin posters. Kalisto exists. Like, what has Kalisto done to deserve this? Miz, once again, I get it. Like, he made some sense. Mojo Rawley. They did make a point that he has won 2 Battle Royals. But really his claim to fame is beating Kurt Hawkins on a kickoff show on pay-per-view. So that warrants, you know, a world title opportunity. I liked AJ. He had that line, "Do you know where I'm going?" Cracked me up. Dolph kicking the screen thing behind him was silly as fuck. Luke's promo. I liked Luke's promo where he kind of flickered the light into his little run thing. Like, Luke's actually significantly improving on the mic. He has a ways to go, but he's improving. Really liked Baron Corbin's Dream Crusher shirt. And of course his hairline. And also his promo because Baron Corbin. Like, I don't think he's used that line before, but he needs to start using it and make that into a t-shirt, more importantly. And then Apollo, talking about how his smile being a weakness. If everybody else is saying that it's a weakness to the point where you have to talk about in a promo, maybe you should stop smiling.
Are you saying he should lose his smile, Kent?
I think him and Shawn Michaels need to have a heart-to-heart. With no Brett involved. And, yeah, figure out what the hell's going on with the smile bullshit. Because I don't get Apollo Crews anymore. I can't wrap my head around. He doesn't make sense to me. He doesn't fit in WWE right now. Does he fit?
Not really. I mean, not with his current character. I mean, were they going to...
He feels so directionless, doesn't he?
Yes, 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 he does. I mean, at one point, weren't we putting out a milk carton for the guy?
We were. So, I mean, at least he's getting on air. And it's like, when you watch him in the ring, he has spots where he's very exciting, and you're like, I could see where this guy could be a big-time player. But then... It just never goes anywhere. I never said, like, walk away from an Apollo Crews match, go, man, this guy's definitely going to main event. Like, you always walk away with that iffy. He has the potential, but not sure if he's ever going to do it. And I don't remember. Apollo's been around for over 2 years now in WWE, between NXT and WWE. I would say that's about right. I still don't know if I see it.
Maybe he was just brought up too soon. I mean, you watch Breaking Ground and Triple H was really, really high on the guy, but it just doesn't appear that way anymore. Maybe he was one of those ones that we should all saying maybe that person should go back down to NXT and, you know, grow some more.
Are they afraid to send people back down to NXT? Because I get that feeling that they are afraid to admit a mistake when they bring somebody up too soon. I really genuinely feel like they're like, once you're up on the main roster, either you make it or you're going to get future endeavored. They haven't brought anybody back down yet, have they? Aside from Emma?
No, they haven't. They really haven't. And the thing is, they should. They have a great developmental program. I mean, they should say, okay, we gave, you know, look at Nia Jax. That's a perfect example of somebody who was not main roster ready when she was brought up. Say, okay, let's send you back down. I mean, she's still doing enhancement talent matches. Those should be done down in NXT, not on the main roster. We shouldn't see her, you know, in jobber matches 7 to 8 months after she's been called up. That's unacceptable in terms of level of performance. The same thing goes for Apollo Crews. He was on TV for a while, had a couple, you know, minuscule feuds, then completely disappeared off the face of the map. I mean, for both of those, I think one from each brand, those are the two that really need to go back down and continue working on their craft, developing their character, and just learn some more. I just don't think they've learned enough to warrant, you know, being on the main roster.
I would also regrettably toss on Dana Brooke, because I think that girl is actually money. I just think that she doesn't have it right now, and she needs that care that NXT can provide her. She's not going to get coddled on the main roster, and she needs that coddling right now. You know, I'm okay with some squash matches here and there, but my issue with squash matches is when they only give it to one or two people. Like, when they were doing it with Braun and Nia week after week. I'd rather see it spread out so that I don't feel like every single match on Raw needs to be a quote-unquote pay-per-view-worthy match. That's all. Like, you can give us a few throwaway matches, especially for your young stars that may just need to show off their moves. And that's fine. Like, just, you know, as long as 3 months down the road we're not still doing week after week squash matches, that's fine. It's actually better than having them just start off and just go nowhere within a month, in my opinion. I don't know. I feel Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas is another guy. I think he actually has his shit together, but whatever he's doing, WWE doesn't really care for it. So if nothing else, send him back down to NXT. Even if you don't plan on promoting the guy, use him as a guy that puts over guys on NXT. Do something with Bo Dallas because he's really good. Same with Curtis Axel. I feel WWE mismanages their talent all too often. Mainly on the Raw roster. I don't know. NXT could also use the boost, though, too. Like, I feel NXT would be an infinitely better product with a Bo Dallas and a Curtis Axel, right?
Exactly.
And, I don't know. I would love to see, you know, 5 years down the road where getting the call-up is cool, but it's not like this big sign of failure that, like, you get sent back down for some refinement. Like, there should be no shame in getting refinement. If anything, that shows that WWE's invested in you. They just want to make sure that they get it right. I see no problems with that, but I don't know. It feels like this huge ego thing that they don't want to get a do-over or anything. I don't know. Bothers me. Back to the Battle Royal. Did they do it right? Did both of them hit at the same time, or did AJ definitely hit the floor first? Because I swear AJ definitely hit the floor first.
It was too tough for me to call. Even rewatching it again, I couldn't call it. I see why they made the decision that they made.
They were smart.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to watch.
I will absolutely. The camera angle that they did was good. I'll give them that.
Yeah, so. I'm going to probably have to watch it again.
Yeah, fair enough. I liked the eliminations, by and large, even for that match. Like, they all made sense, realistically. Mojo being the least likely to win it was the first one gone, and Kalisto was the next one gone. Dolph was the next one gone, which made sense because Dolph's been jobbing a lot. Like, everything made a lot of sense. And even like when Baron got eliminated, it made sense for him to get eliminated when he did. I don't know. I thought the pacing and everything to it was like this whole logic thing. Like, everything they did was pretty logical, right?
Oh, I agree. Everything fit perfectly. Also with the existing storylines that they have in place now.
Right, like they played up to anything that they had planned for WrestleMania in that match. They played it up really well. I liked they did, I don't know what you'd call it. I'm gonna call it a triple suplex when Cena, AJ, and Dean, like Cena suplex both of them at the same time. I liked how Dean didn't do like the typical wrestling thing. Instead, when he was in the air, he immediately like, grabbed his head to protect it. It was like, why don't you see that more often when guys are getting suplexed like the German suplex. You don't see enough guys going to, like, protect their head, which is what a normal person would do in that case. If Brock Lesnar came behind you, you know that he's probably going to want to do something like a German suplex and probably drop you on your head. Like, wouldn't you just try to protect your head as well as possible?
Yes, I mean, you have to, or else you're going to shorten your career.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I liked it, though. Like, I asked in the blog at nindeuce.com/wrestling. I asked, do you think there's any chance of AJ getting involved in the title feud? Like, they have not done anything really. AJ's been in no man's land so far on SmackDown as far as the build-up to WrestleMania. Do you think there's any chance he could sneak into the main event, or do you think they're just holding off to figure out who's healthy on Raw, or do you think that they're just holding off for the AJ and Shane McMahon thing?
It'd be nice to see. I mean, do we really want to see Shane versus AJ at WrestleMania? I don't want to see that. But,
I actually thought that Shane was going to be the one that came out and not Daniel Bryan, and I thought that AJ was going to blow up at Shane at the end of the Battle Royal, but that didn't happen, which surprised me, so I'm like, I don't know where they're going with this. I like the fact that I don't know where they're going with it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I just wish they'd come up with something for him. I mean, AJ deserves a match. We need to see it, but I don't know.
I didn't even read your response yet on the blog because I'm lazy. Who did you choose for AJ? Who would you have him wrestle at Mania?
I want to see him wrestle Shinsuke. I really, really do. I know it's going to come at some point, but I want it now.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I want AJ and Samoa Joe just due to age factor more than anything. Because AJ and Shinsuke can happen next year, and I don't think there's going to be any drop-off. I just don't know how many more good years. You have two guys at their current age. I don't know how many more good years they're both going to have without injuries. So I'd rather see the AJ and Samoa Joe thing happen this year. That's all. Other than that, I want to see AJ versus Shinsuke, AJ and Finn, AJ. I want to see AJ versus damn near everybody. Except for Seth Rollins, because Seth will injure him.
Yes, keep him away from Seth Rollins. No, don't even think it.
Did that match ever take place last year at all? I mean, I don't recall. I don't think it did because Seth was injured during that whole time that AJ was feuding with Roman, right?
Yep.
That's why AJ went the whole year without getting hurt. Good for him.
And why he basically had a career year last year.
Pretty much. I also got thinking, I wish they would bring back, somebody having, a twin, a doppelganger, but, an evil doppelganger. I don't know. Can't we have, a evil Roman Reigns doppelganger and eventually have good Roman Reigns team up with bad Roman Reigns and they could come out to Lady Gaga's Bad Romance? Would anybody be opposed to this?
I would watch it.
Right. It's so stupid, but yeah, you'd be like, this seems like it's gonna be really bad, but I kind of want to see where this goes. You're welcome, WWE. And I know that they listen. I know that they listen because they steal our ideas. Like, at least once every 3 months, they steal one of our ideas.
I think they just scour the internet for all the ideas, and they just take the best ones. And we have a lot of good ideas.
Yeah. I mean, and with Russ not here, my gosh. I gotta tell you, I wrote in my notes, I don't know why, but when John Cena came out, I wrote, hey, the human hemorrhoid. I don't know why I gave him that nickname, but it made me laugh when I wrote it, so I just wanted to share that.
Interesting. That is interesting. I mean,
it's a good one, I feel. Let's see. I'm looking through what we have going on here. All right. Why don't we do some emails?
Sounds like a fantastic idea. But before we do that, we should let our listeners out there know if they would like to email myself, Kent, Russell, with questions, concerns, or praises. We really like praises about the show. You can email us at wrestling@ninedudes.com. That's the correct email address, right? I'm not used to doing these.
Ah. Yep. That is correct. I also like being insulted. Fat jokes or bald jokes are also really, really acceptable for these emails, so feel free to do those as well.
And the occasional blonde joke is also very acceptable on my end.
And basically anything at Russell's expense is always hilarious. The meaner, the better. Like, always will get my approval. Always.
Exactly. All right, should we open up the email bag?
Yeah. I say we do that, because I've read them, and I'm good to go here.
All right, cool. So, our first email comes from, I'm too fat to be a cruiserweight. Aw, the poor guy. All right, the email goes like this. Hey, guys, love the show. So, 205 Live seems to do a nice job transitioning their feuds. What's your favorite feud at the moment?
Are we sure this isn't from Kalisto?
Possibly.
Oh, poor Kalisto. Remember in NXT, he was really, like, in good shape?
I do. He was really good. I love the Lucha Dragons. I was luching with the best of them. It's a shame what happened.
That was a good team. That was a good team, and they really should never split that up. I don't know. Favorite feud at the moment? They've got a lot of things going on, and I'm really intrigued. Like, I know that the Brian Kendrick thing and Akira Tozawa is just a way to get Tozawa over with the fans, but it's working so well that I gotta give them props, and especially Kendrick. The Brian Kendrick is one of the most valuable assets that WWE has at the moment, in my opinion. Like, he doesn't care about wins. He just does his job. He's kind of like the cruiserweight Jericho. So that's where my interests have lied, but I'm not going to lie, Neville on the mic, like, I hate contract signings, and in the past month, I feel WWE has pulled off two really good contract signings. So, props to them, and props for the whole Rich Swann and Noam Dar thing. That's been good. I don't know. Where your allegiances lie?
Well, my knowledge is still very, very limited. I know, shamefully so, that I have yet to binge watch everything that is 205 Live. But with that being said, I did really enjoy both of the segments Monday night. I like the Akira Brian Kendrick thing. I mean, Akira's just like, no, I don't like you. I don't like you at all. To the point. Simple. I wish more feuds were like that. With that being said, though, I like me some Gallagher. The guy is great. He's basically a caricature, and I find that awesome. And Neville, he has been amazing since coming back. I'm just impressed with him week over week. I think turning heel was the best thing that ever happened to him. And especially since I really didn't dig the superhero gimmick. I mean, if you remember correctly, when he was a superhero, quote unquote, I think his tag team partner at SummerSlam was more over than he was.
Oh, yeah. You probably know the guy's name. I don't. Green Arrow, what wasn't it?
Yes, Stephen Amell. Sam and Ladder. Oh, sorry. I was just thinking of an episode of Arrow. Anyway.
Man. Wow. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get about the same way when we get talking about Miss Bliss down the road. But, yeah, that's cool.
Hey, you and Rusty on this all the time. For once, I like my one moment.
Oh, you can have all the moments you want. I mean, when Finn Balor comes back, you're gonna be like loving it. So take as many moments as you want. One cool thing from 205 this week was like Austin Aries segued to his own video package. Like, normally you don't introduce your own video package, but he did. And it worked out really well. So I highly recommend that for anybody who is not really up to snuff on Austin Aries and how great he is. I think he's such a talented guy, and he'll never get pushed the way that AJ Styles got pushed. And that's understandable, it's fine, but in ring talent, he's right there with AJ. At least he used to be. Promo wise, he's actually better than AJ. Austin Aries is always going to kind of be like the ugly sister. Like, every bit as good as the quote unquote hot sister, but just never going to get as much recognition, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did remember when I did watch TNA. Just watching both, you know, Styles and Aries, and yeah, they really played up the Styles and really just downgraded. Yeah, I definitely see where you're going with that. I definitely see it. Although when I was watching, it was that what's her name baby storyline. That was awful. That should never happen again.
Baby storyline.
It's your baby, AJ. They brought that actress in to like.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, and I'm so glad I don't.
I feel like her name was Claire something.
And, yeah, that just jogged my memory. Darn it!
good. All right.
Should we do another? I was just going to say, Should we do another email?
Yeah, why not?
All right. So this email comes from One Day-ish. Hello. Great show, guys. What happened to Naomi? How long is she out? Also, did you guys like the idea of putting the belt right back on Alexa? Kent, I'm going to let you take this one because, you know, you got to have that Alexa moment.
Actually, I really want to know what did happen to Naomi. Do you know what happened?
I have no idea. I've checked all my news sources that I usually use for my big wrestling story of the week. I can't find out anything. Even I even had Eric looking, and Eric couldn't find anything either. I mean, we were talking about this over dinner tonight, and we think maybe this is a work?
So that's exactly what I was just going to ask. Is it possible that it's a work to give Naomi that moment? But did you watch Talking Smack?
I did not. That's on after my bedtime.
Okay. Because The Usos came on, and I don't want to ruin much, but they get talking about the whole Naomi thing for obvious reasons. And Daniel said, the big problem is that Naomi would not be able to defend her belt within 30 days, which under normal circumstances they could make some exceptions, but because it's WrestleMania season, they really didn't have many options, so they had to take it off of her. I found that part to be telling. That tells me that she does have an injury that's potentially short-term, but longer than 30 days. But I don't know. It could be a work. It could be either way, but I found that little tidbit just told me that maybe she does have like a minor injury that's just enough to keep her on the shelf, but that really sucks if that takes her off of Mania. But it would also be a big moment if she did make it to Mania. For her, at least.
Yeah, hometown crowd and all. That would be... That story would just write itself. Honestly.
But, alright, so if she showed up to Mania to fight, would that work, or would that almost kind of feel insulting at that point?
Possibly. I mean, it would be great to see her come back and just be like, okay, I guess, you know, the injury is over, what have you. But at the same time, if she was going to be fine for Mania, why not just keep the belt on her and just do other things with her and not have her wrestle? I mean, it's not like right. There's a pay-per-view between now and Mania that she would need to defend her title at.
Exactly. Like, there was 40 days as of yesterday, I think, until Mania. 40 days! So they were worried that she's not going to be able to defend her title at Mania in 40 days. And yet, no wrestling site that, you know, between you, me, and Eric, none of us can find a damn ounce of info. Like, this is pretty freaking weird. I think this is actually one of the weirdest wrestling stories that's happened in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, she said that she was sort of injured last week, and I was like, oh, it's nothing serious. She probably just tweaked her knee, but then they kick off SmackDown this week. Oh, Naomi's giving the belt back? And I was scratching my head. Eric was scratching his head. We didn't get. I was just as confused, I think, as everybody in that arena was.
When that started, I immediately like went online to like look. I'm like, what the hell did I miss? And I was just trying to see, like, okay, I was expecting to find out, you know, breaking news, something like that. No, I didn't find a damn thing. So that whole segment was just absolutely confusing to me. It was a really well done segment. I don't want to say how well done it was, because I don't know if it was quote unquote fake or not. That's the thing. Like, I'm left not knowing anything. I am happy that, you know, Bliss won the belt, but I did offer an alternative on the blog at nineduce.com/wrestling. I would have enjoyed Mickey having won the belt last night, and then Alexa in her quest to be the champion just say screw the friendship and just go after the belt. I would have loved to seen that matchup.
I'd watch that. I like that. That'd be great.
It'd be better than Bliss versus Becky again. That's all. Like, it'd just be something different. It'd be a good storyline. Like, I don't think we've had a storyline like that.
Not yet. Definitely not yet.
Give them time. It'll happen, I hope. Did you think it was good to put the belt back on her?
I mean, I love Alexa. I think she's a great champ. I mean, she is the best heel in the company right now, and really, she's one of the few women on the roster, on the SmackDown roster, that's firing on all cylinders. So, I mean, it's logical to put the belt back on her just from a, you know, an overall accomplishment standpoint. Do we want it back on Becky? No, that, you know, that was okay, but really the big story in that was Alexa. So, yeah, I mean, I'm good with it. I'm not mad at it, but, I mean, I could take it or leave it.
Long term, I mean, who do you see the next logical choice? Is this the sign to bring Asuka up? Because we've often debated whether Asuka should come up to SmackDown or to Raw. We all want her to go to SmackDown because, you know, she'll have good stories on SmackDown at least. Does that make the most sense now? Is for, because on the face side of SmackDown, especially if Nikki's taking a hiatus or retiring, and Naomi's out, that leaves Becky. That's it. So it makes sense, right, to bring up Asuka to SmackDown?
Yeah, I would. I mean, putting Asuka on Raw in the clusterfuck that that division is, that would just, I think it would diminish her. And Asuka is an amazing talent. And, I mean, no woman on the main roster can hold a candle to her. And she deserves to be on whatever roster will give her the best. Actually, the fans, the best bang for their buck. They need to see her in her element, not, you know, jobbing to Nia Jax or Charlotte.
Oh, come on. She would win the belt from Charlotte on a Raw that was meaningless and then lose it to Charlotte at a pay-per-view. That'd be so worth it. Come on.
For who? Charlotte?
Whoever's making these asinine decisions are clearly is in love with this whole idea, because if she gets her one-on-one match at Fastlane, that's going to make her a five-time champ already. Five-time, right? Or is it six-time?
5 times for a belt that's not even a year old yet. It's almost a year old, but it's not a year old yet.
Wow. Wow. Are they priming her to beat her dad's record?
Possibly. And it looks like they're going to do it in two, maybe 3 years. They keep this up.
Could you imagine how sad that would be? Like, I mean, no matter how much we make fun of it now, like we're pretty brutal to the Raw women's division. I can't even imagine how much worse we'd be if, like, over the next year plays out similar to how this past year played out. At what point would fans just stop watching?
I'd say about around title reign 8. Actually, I would be done after 6, but that's just me.
I've honestly been done for a while. Like, I did watch, I watched something. Oh, I watched, like, the promo aspect on Raw, but I didn't watch the match. I just didn't care. Actually, I think there's 2 women's matches. I fast-forward through women's matches on Raw now. Not because they're not, you know, good or whatever, but between the announcing and the historical value and the endless rain of bullshit, I know what's going to happen. What's the point in me watching it? You know?
Exactly.
I'll sit there and watch, you know, NASCAR, because it's not entertaining me. Raw's women division is just like NASCAR to me. It's not entertaining to me in the least bit.
It's like NASCAR without the left turns. And another left.
Just once. Just take a right and take out some of those fuckers. Come on. I think this would be a good segue to our historic women's fantasy redraft.
I agree. So, should I go over the rules first?
Yeah, and I still don't have any way of determining who gets first pick, so I'll just give you the first pick.
Alright, are we gonna do this by brand?
We'll just say that you can represent SmackDown. I'll try to make Raw slightly better than it is now.
Sounds like a plan. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, here are the rules for tonight's Women's Fantasy Redraft. There are 14 eligible women currently on the main roster to be redrafted. I get 7 picks. Kent gets 7 picks. And then we'll discuss how we're going to book these new rosters. All right. Let's kick this off. Smack.
Who you got for number one?
SmackDown selects Miss Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Shit. I was just hoping for some reason you'd, like, go out of your way to do something different.
Nope.
Yeah. All right, so in that case, I will choose Charlotte.
I'm going to take Bailey.
Okay. I'm trying to keep track of the picks here. All right. I see your Bailey, and I'm trying to think of, like, who you would want, because there's value picks from me. I could do some stuff with, fuck it, Sasha.
Okay. I'm mad at her, but I think she could do great things on SmackDown. I'm going to take Paige.
Wow. I thought for sure I could snag Paige much like around pick 8. All right. I'm taking Emma before she goes off the books here because she's my trophy.
All right, let's see. I'm going to take Mickey. As in Mickey James.
Okay, Mickey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had to clarify that because Mickey and Nikki kind of sound the same.
Yeah, and Skype just happened to cut out during that first syllable. I'm like, Okay, I gotta go with. I got a lot of heels that can also be faces, but I don't really have any true faces. I like Naomi. I'll go with her.
Okay. And I can't believe we haven't drafted this one yet, but I'm taking Becky if she's still available.
Yeah, I was choosing between Becky and Naomi, and that's cool. I'm going to take Alicia Fox.
I'm going to take Natty.
Good. let's see, Natty, that's number 11. That leaves me with, God, not leaving me much here to work with. I will take Carmella.
Dang it! Fine, I'm taking all Miss All Red everything then. I take Eva Marie.
I didn't even have her listed as a possibility. Shit. Okay. Eva. That's a good pick, actually. I'm going to take Nia Jax over Nikki Bella. That's how much I think of Nikki Bella.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. Let's see. I'll take Dana Brooke.
Yep, and, I'm just gonna let Nikki retire. So I'm drafting her, and I'm officially announcing her retirement. And that's the whole roster. So, did you by any chance write down who you picked?
I started to.
I'm just going to send it to you on Skype.
Okay.
So you obviously have all the odd numbered people.
Okay.
Well, I mean, clearly I can see that you have much better faces than I do. Which I'm not surprised at. I'm trying to like copy and paste things around so that I just have my roster away from your roster. But I'm not being super fast at the moment. Obviously Alexa's gonna be the star of your show.
Of course.
Who would be who's gonna be your top face?
Gotta go with Bayley.
Bayley makes all the sense in the world there because I still say that Bayley's completely redeemable on a marketing standpoint. They just need to do better.
Agreed.
Who was number 15? Who did you draft last? Was it Dana?
I think so. I don't see.
Yeah, I think I typoed Dana at 16 because I had Nikki at 16, unfortunately. So, all right, there we go. I'll redo this on Skype so it's a little bit clearer for you. All right, so the top half's the even ones. Those are ones I have. So you end up with Alexa, Becky, Mickey James, Natalia, Eva Marie, Bayley, Paige, and Dana. You got Becky and Bayley as faces. Who else out of those eight are you gonna make a face?
Yeah, we'll keep Becky a face. We'll make Paige a face. Keep Mickey heel. Keep Dana heel. Natty will keep a heel. And yeah, we have to keep Eva Marie face. Heel, because nobody's going to buy her as a face.
So, doesn't that give you six heels?
Yeah, I didn't say it was a good science. Yeah, maybe we should make Natty turn Natty back into a face. Because she's kind of an awful heel.
Yeah, I mean, on the plus side, you could always... Mickey's pretty easy to go either way. Paige is easy to go heel. Paige, I think, actually works better as a heel. But given that roster at the moment, I'd keep Paige as a face. And the funny thing, though, is if I'm looking at my roster, I have one natural face. By and large, the women's roster, There's only a handful of natural faces. Becky, Bailey, and Naomi. Every other woman actually is better as a heel. That's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it really is. Well, I mean, Natty's a decent face.
Well, my issue with Natty is the same issue I have with Nikki in the fact that I just don't think they're veterans, but I don't think they're that good in the ring. And I can't really recall Natalya being interesting aside from if you wiped away this Nikki feud. I can't recall the last time I was actually invested in an Natalya feud.
I don't think I ever was.
Yeah. And she's been around for a fucking long time. That says a lot. I'm looking at my roster and I'm telling you, I would make Emma my number one something. I don't know what, but she would be my number one.
I think she's a fantastic heel. I mean, she did some of her best work as a heel with Dana.
I would probably just set her up as my tweener. Because I'm always a big fan of having at least one tweener that has no problems facing a heel or a face. That provides her unlimited opportunities. Like, that's the person whoever's the tweener gets the most opportunities and can do so much. I think Emma would excel there. At some point, Charlotte would have to end up being my freaking face, which, right now, though, Naomi against heel Sasha would be really fun. Emma versus Charlotte would be really fun. And Alicia and Carmella, I think, would actually be pretty fun for me. I would have fun with this roster, and Nia Jax, I would actually bring her along as something. I don't know what, the obvious answer is to make her the badass heel, but there's got to be a different way of doing Nia Jax. She can't just always be the devastating heel, or else her character is just going to be short-lived. Don't you think?
I mean, she's got to be versatile. She's got to be able to, you know, play both sides. I'm just trying to figure out how they would make her a face.
I think you would basically need to have, what the hell was, remember back in NXT, Charlotte and Sasha were a team?
Yes, the BFFs, right?
So, something like that. Because, they had the shirts, you gotta do it with flair, and I can't remember what the hell Sasha's was. And I can see them just teaming up and just being mean girl style on Nia and having Nia kind of go the Awesome Kong / Karma route where, fans get behind this big badass bitch to just wreck shit. I think that's how you could book Nia to get fans behind her, and she wouldn't have to be any talented in the ring. She would just have to go in there and look imposing and act imposing.
That works for me.
I mean, if you win the fans, you can slowly build up your repertoire. That's kind of like what happened with Roman Reigns, if you think about the early Shield days. It's not like Roman had a huge moveset, but his moves were effective. He had a persona. It worked for him. Why not just do that with Nia Jax? I don't know. I say just switch Sasha and Nia. Switch Sasha to heel, make Nia face, and run with it on Raw some point this year.
I like it. And then if you're going to reunite the BFFs, you gotta bring back in Summer Rae.
I just saw an injury update on her, last week. I didn't even know she was injured. And then I'd forgotten that she had existed, and that made me so sad.
I had no idea she was injured myself. Wow. The things you learn.
She she was really actually a good wrestler in NXT, which I know you can vouch for. And she, I mean, she wasn't the greatest on the mic. She wasn't bad. And she's very attractive. Like, I don't know how WWE managed to drop the ball with her.
One word. Fandango.
I feel bad for him, too. Like, him and Tyler have such a good team going. Like, the concept is there, but they're never going to... They need a mini push just to see if they can get the crowd behind them. I know that they're set as heels, but sometimes they're faces. I say you push them as faces, as like over-the-top comedy faces for a little bit, and just see what you can get out of them. Because if not, I mean, they're just going to be jobbers for life, which jobbers have a role, but I feel that they could have something there with these guys.
I would have to agree with you there. I mean, I've actually seen them wrestle in person, and they have great charisma together. They have a great thing going. It's just booking. I mean, we say it time and time again, booking can make or break a tag team or an individual. And in this case, booking is killing what is really a good tag team. Ugh, so sad.
The whole tag team in general needs a complete kick in the ass, for lack of better terms, really. So, yeah, I'd like to see SmackDown. I expect much better out of SmackDown. But, I mean, hopefully with the draft, I don't know. I mean, there's really not much in NXT to take for right now, aside from the obvious team. And I think WWE needs to maybe make more of a concerted effort to say, you know what, you two guys are not going anywhere. Let's team you up. Let's see what happens. And no, not the Rusev and Jinder thing. That was I like the team, but that's mainly because I like both guys. But I don't want to see that as a long-term team. Would I enjoy maybe Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel as a team? Sure. Although I think they'd both be better in NXT right now. But yeah, why not? Give Raw another team. Because Raw needs teams.
This is true. I mean, they got talent on their roster they don't even use. Why not put them in tag teams?
Right. Like, when you have a division as weak as Raw's tag team division, where, despite how weak it is, Shining Stars and Golden Truth can barely make it on TV. It just doesn't make sense. They have, like, the talent is there on Raw, it's just how they utilize it. You know, and this is something actually I kind of want to talk about anyways. This whole New Day thing, right? Like, we talk about on the blog, right now their big thing is ice cream. That's how bad Raw's gotten when you have the longest reigning tag team champions and their biggest gimmick right now is they want ice cream. What the fuck has happened to Raw when that's your thing?
I have no idea. All I know is New Day doesn't get their ice cream because CM Punk didn't get his ice cream bars.
If Punk couldn't get the ice cream bars, I'll be super pissed if New Day does. I really will be pissed. Punk deserved better. Because, did you ever have the... Probably not. I'm guessing you never had the ice cream bars from way back when?
No. No, I did not. I saw them in the grocery store, but my parents wouldn't buy them for me.
I only ever had one once in my life. I got it from an ice cream truck when I was over to a buddy's house. And it was good. Like, It was a, you know, it was your typical novelty ice cream thing, but I fail to see how they wouldn't sell well nowadays. The fans clearly seem to want ice cream. I don't know. Seems weird. Do you think, like, they're having New Day host WrestleMania. Are they just Do you think that they're going to be breaking up New Day, or do you think they're just kind of holding on to, like, something for whatever reason?
I think they're holding on to the team as is because they know that they have something entertaining. Like, I don't think they view the New Day as a tag team anymore. They just view them as three guys who have a good time and that can entertain a crowd. I mean, if you ever watch Up, Up, Down, Down, I mean, Xavier Woods is extremely entertaining and is an amazing host. I like watching those videos.
Yeah, I mean, they're like one of the biggest entertainment acts that WWE has. It just happens to be three guys, but it works. Do you think that as a hardcore wrestling fan that sometimes we let what we want get we let what we want get too far in our perspective instead of like looking at it from a corporate perspective, like, you know, hardcore wrestling fans, we want New Day broken up, we want all three guys to have singles careers, and we want those guys to, you know, rise up and, you know, at least one or two of them become world champions down the road. That's what hardcore wrestling fans want. We don't want to see this New Day thing where they come out every week, talk about blueprints for ice cream. But the reality is that provides, like, this whole niche of entertainment, and that's what WWE is, it's entertainment. Do you think probably, like, hardcore fans may be, like, a little too hard on the New Day thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but we're hard on everything that they put out. I mean, that's
good. We go hard.
Exactly. I mean, we will, if we don't like it, we complain about it. That's what, you know, hardcore wrestling fans do. That's what the internet wrestling community does. We complain because we know what we want and we don't. And the WWE doesn't usually agree with that. And they do what they feel is in the best interest for their shareholders and, I mean, for the corporate image, which is completely understandable. They have a business to run. With that being said, though, I think with this New Day situation, it's they're trying to appeal to the fan who, or not fan, but just a person who may go, huh, maybe I will watch WrestleMania. Those guys are funny. Yeah, they're really funny. Ooh, they're talking about ice cream. I want ice cream now. See,
I can see that. It makes sense. Like, and to go to something that you just said there, think about, like, Grant, I have confidence in myself that if I was allowed to book one of the wrestling shows, I could probably book a good show, but that doesn't mean that the show that I would book would be the show that the hardcore wrestling fan would want, because every hardcore wrestling fan has their own version of what the perfect show would be. And I feel that WWE is like this perfect amalgamation of like bits and pieces of what hardcore wrestling fans want to see, just not in the exact right order or in the right time frame that fans want it. But at some point or another, we get aspects, if not the full thing. It's just not always when we want it. Would you think that's a fair statement?
Yeah, I think basically we're just really impatient people.
In today's age, people are impatient about everything. Because we have instant gratification for goddamn everything, and people just don't want to wait for anything. It's the way the world is. That's why we have Twitter for whatever fucking reason. It's just the way it is. I mean, I can't believe it, but, like, as a sports fan, I see on ESPN more news stories break on Twitter. Like, probably 40% of news stories break on Twitter. Now, that's weird to me. That's really weird, but that's the whole instant thing nowadays. So, yeah. I think WWE, by and large, no matter how much shit we give them, I think they do a good job, or else we wouldn't keep watching. But I also feel that there are times where even though we overreact to some things, I still think Raw is a poor product, or has been a poor product since the brand split. And it's for obvious reasons. And there's going to be stretches where it's going to be a poor product. There's probably going to be a stretch where SmackDown's going to put out a poor product, maybe. Hopefully not, but maybe. Right?
Possibly. They haven't really sucked so far.
They have the gift of 2 hours. That is the best thing that they have going for them. Because the only thing that they're not doing well is tag team wrestling. And if they can figure out how to just get in some storylines with tag team wrestling, they don't have to... They've been pushing the women's agenda a little much lately. Not that I didn't mind. Like, Elimination Chamber had 3 women's matches. And I wasn't complaining, but simultaneously, some of that time could be allotted towards the tag team division, and it would probably improve the overall product. That's the worst thing I have to say about SmackDown. Like, that's the absolute worst thing I can say. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assessment. They're, with the exception of the tag division, they really are knocking it out of the park right now. At least for the, you know, the wrestling fan, the one that just watches week after week, that's been watching for years. Raw, on the other hand, maybe it's to us who have been watching for years and stuff like that, who really have, you know, a passionate attachment to it. Maybe what Raw's doing isn't appealing to any of us, but maybe to the person who just tunes in, just to tune in, they're like, oh, this is awesome. Oh, look, there's like Goldberg. I remember watching him when I was a little kid on WCW.
Yep, everybody's chomping down those member berries when Goldberg and Brock come on, or Taker makes an appearance, or, you know, probably even like when Foley shows up for, you know, for his commissioner role. I'm sure people eat that shit right up. SmackDown doesn't have... They have Shane McMahon and Cena. Like, that's about as old... Or Orton. That's like your 3 oldest relics, because Kane's rarely on. So, like, Raw has that nostalgia at the very least, which is... It's something. There's something to be said for nostalgia, because it does get viewers, obviously. With that being said, I want to know... I know you have the Rollins report, but we also talked about deaths. Is death going to be part of your investigative report, or is that just something you wanted to talk about on a totally different basis? What are you doing with the deaths?
It's kind of part of the whole, my whole segment as a whole.
Well, there's no time like the present.
All right, well, everyone, there just isn't too much for my weekly Rollins report this week. All I've read is more rehabbing reports and not too much else. But it looks like he'll be on Raw next week, so perhaps we'll know more then. As for the other wrestling stories of the week, over the weekend we lost 2 WWE legends, George the Animal Steele and Ivan Koloff, who Steele died of several health issues. He was 79. Koloff from liver disease. He was 74. All I have to say is, wow. Usually these things come in threes. Hopefully we don't see any more, though. Seems like 2017 is a year of is taking all our wrestlers. Like 2016 took all of our musicians.
Was 2016 Piper and Dusty within a month, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And technically Nicole Bass also died. Now, she wasn't huge into wrestling, but she was involved in wrestling during the Attitude Era, which made her famous. But, I mean, I only knew her via wrestling and Howard Stern. But I will say this. I don't know how to say it nicely or gently, but we're wrestling fans. We get so used to wrestling deaths. Like, it's never easy or anything. But at least I'd rather wrestling deaths occur when we have these guys in their 70s who have lived full lives than, you know, the younger guys that, you know, like, Test, or, you know, guys that are dying in their 30s or 40s. At least these guys were legends. They got to live their legendary lives and their careers and all that stuff. So, I don't know. It's more of a happy ending, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I mean, they lived for a wrestler, they lived an amazing life. Both of them did.
Right. I mean, I never watched much Koloff. I know he was in, I think it was mainly NWA. I don't know how much WCW, if any. I think he was in some WCW. But George, I remember George Hamill Steele, his involvement with the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. That stuff was actually some of the, for early on WrestleMania era WWF, that was actually some of the better storytelling, because storytelling wasn't that great back then, and comedy was also pretty bad. And this had, like, this whole, like, cuteness factor that was also kind of funny and charming. It just worked on every level. It was actually one of the better... Hell, just for the 80s alone, as long as, like, you know, there was some good vendetta stories, but if you're not talking about those serious, serious hardcore wrestling, that was one of the better storylines that happened in the 80s. So, if you ever go back, I don't know, have you ever watched the Macho Man and Steamboat match from WrestleMania 3?
I remember watching that as it happened, but I don't remember the specifics of it. I mean, WrestleMania 3 was my first WrestleMania that I ever watched.
Wow. My first one was WrestleMania 6. I mean, George is involved in that particular match. And, you know, it's neat because for a long time, that was considered to be the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. And some of the old school purists, you know, those people that won't let things go and still say that some quarterback from the 70s is the greatest quarterback of all time. Those people, they still claim that's the greatest match. It's not anymore, but it holds up for the first decade of WrestleManias. That holds up probably in the top three WrestleMania matches, which is pretty impressive. So, there's that. Any other news?
That is it for the newsreel for this week.
So, I wanted to do something. I wanted to right a wrong that has been going on for a couple weeks here on this podcast. I'm talking about Russ's Man Crush of the Week. And this week, without Russ's permission, I'm going to do Russ's Man Crush of the Week. And I'm choosing Kurt freaking Angle because Russ chose not to choose Kurt freaking Angle the week that he was announced for the Hall of Fame. And it's been bothering me ever since then. So, you know, I know Russ was saving it, but too bad. He had the opportunity, he chose not to do it, he can't go back on it, I stole a guy. He's going to be upset about this, but mind you, I'm hoping next week that he gets really mad at me over this.
I have a feeling he's going to be, he's going to be very angry about this. Almost as angry as if you, I don't know, picked Rollins for something and he didn't get a chance to do it.
In all fairness, for what, 3 weeks now, I've been saying, Ross, you really should be picking Kurt Angle. Like, it's not like I haven't been saying it, so he blew it. Also, I want to say, this year's WWE Hall of Fame class is really freaking stacked right now. Like, it's one of the best all-time so far. Now, of course, a lot of things can change based on who the female is, who the foreign wrestler is, and who the celebrity is, all that fun stuff. But DDP, in my opinion, was strong enough to headline his own Hall of Fame class. It's pretty stacked. I mean, who is it? We got Kurt, we got DDP, we got Rock and Roll Express, and we got Teddy Long. That's a freaking good class. I'm impressed. I just want to say that WWE's done really good so far with this one. Also, have you ever watched any DDP yoga?
No, I haven't. I've seen the ads, though.
So, I was watching some of it this morning, and due to my need to lose weight and get in better shape before my heart explodes, I definitely think I'm going to try it out. Looking at, like, the main fundamentals that he has going on, most of it's pretty... I hate using the term easy, because I know it's challenging. It seems doable. Doable is a good word. So, I think I'm going to give it a shot at some point. I probably have to, like, invest in a freaking yoga mat. I don't know if they make them an extra gargantuan, but if they do, that's what I'll buy. And give it a whirl.
Sounds awesome. I think you should give us all an update once you start on the podcast.
Yeah, when I start, I will let you guys know. I'm cautiously optimistic. I have like 10 weeks to get myself in better shape. So, hopefully in 10 weeks I'll have an update. With that being said, I want to do my What Really Grinds My Gears segment. And this week on Raw, during Raw, after Raw, before Raw, someplace at Raw, The Rock was there. He wasn't on camera, but he was there. He came out, I believe, before and after the show. I don't know if you can confirm that one way or the other. But at some point he gets in the ring and he gets on the mic and he actually calls up CM Punk and leaves him a voice message. And supposedly Vince McMahon is pissed off at The Rock for having done this, but because it's The Rock, he's never going to say, no, you can't come back because it's the fucking Rock. So Vince is kind of helpless at The Rock's whims, but it irritates me, and I don't know how irritated to be, because, you know, it's wrestling world, it's rumors, you never know what's a work, what's not a work. In my opinion, I think this was a great thing to, I mean, maybe The Rock was just doing it to be a dick, I'll never know, I have no idea if maybe The Rock was just doing it to be a dick, but I think The Rock and Punk actually got along pretty well, so I don't think it was a dick move. I only see positives from him doing this, and what grinds my gears is Vince is supposedly being pissed off about this. Like, what's there to be pissed off about when you're trying to mend fences with one of your most over superstars of the last decade? Makes no sense to me. Do you see any reason to be pissed off about that?
I mean, I've heard about this story, and it just... I'm just trying to figure out what I'm missing here. My understanding was Rock was there to film a part of his movie. His Wrestling My Family movie. Basically, the Paige story. But it was the Raw match where I think Paige wins the belt from AJ Lee. And... the crowd was chanting, CM Punk, which they always did during an AJ Lee match after, you know, that relationship was made public. And, he called them big deal? Why is this such a big deal? It's not like he did this on WWE TV.
Right. Like, it was just an off-the-air segment, and the crowd clearly ate it up. Like, it wasn't like he pissed off the crowd. Like, the crowd ate it up. If you're Vince, don't you see, like, money signs right there? Like, you know how much the crowd really wants CM Punk. Wouldn't that you just be like, you know what, maybe I'm going to reach out to Punk? It baffles me.
I mean, just the fact that the rumors are like, oh, well, you know.
It's not like, I mean, I don't want to say that Punk's never going to do well in MMA, but given his age and whatnot, he's probably never going to be a main event player on a main UFC card. You know, it's the nature of the beast. He tried, it's fine. His real money calling, if he wants another big payday, is going to be in wrestling. And his biggest payday would obviously be with WWE. I just fail to see why this was a negative thing, I guess. So that's what grinds my gears.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
Oh, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, it's just kind of ridiculous and petty if the rumors are true. But in any case, now it's time for the namesake segment of this show. It's time for the segment, Were We Not Entertained? This week, we chose Nikki and Natalia's Falls Count Anywhere match. So, Kent, were you or were you not entertained?
This one's tough. It's tough because I think it was definitely their best match of their feud. That there's zero doubt of it in my mind. There wasn't many, if any, botches. I kind of felt bad. Natalia's head bounced off the announce desk. It worked. Like, all in all, I was entertained, but one thing really stood out is like, oh, this is painful to watch, and that's Maryse with a pipe. I don't know how, there's no nice way of saying this without coming off completely misogynistic, and I don't care at this point. What the hell is it with women and not using foreign objects well? Have you noticed this, like, women with like the canes, they look so unnatural using it. It can't just be me saying that they look weird using these weapons, right?
No, it's strange. I mean, it's something where none of us are used to seeing. So when they do use it, it's, why are they doing that? It's usually the reaction that you get. I mean, regardless of who's using it, whether it's Natalia or Maryse or even Nikki using a weapon, that's just not something you usually see, and it's just going to make you kind of scratch your head and say, yeah, don't do that. Just don't.
I miss the glory days of, like, Sensational Sherry using, like, her stiletto as a weapon on The Ultimate Warrior. That's something I can get into. Chicks using lead pipes or, you know, like, Singapore canes, it looks so unnatural because they're afraid to really hit each other, by and large. Like, some of these chicks will really go for it, but not the ones in WWE. They're pretty much afraid to really go at it, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay that they don't really want to beat the holy hell out of each other. That's fine. I just would keep the weapons away from them. Wouldn't that just be the resolution for that?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. That match just seemed awkward on so many levels. With that being said, I enjoyed it. I guess I was entertained, but yeah, it was slow, sloppy at some points, and yeah, the weapon use was just, yeah, awful.
I think we were probably both mostly entertained, knowing that this was probably the end of that feud. Not that the feud sucked, but the matches from the feud sucked, unfortunately. But that brings us to a whole other thing, and I do, once again, for as much negative as I got to say, I also got to say I liked how they tied in The Miz coming out and pulling Maurice off, and then they had The Miz run in and eliminate Cena during the Battle Royal. Like, as much as I don't want to see that match, they planted the seeds really well for that.
Yeah, that part was really well done. I agree.
And Cena's going to be on Miz TV this coming Tuesday. So, there's that. All in all, it's not the most entertaining thing I've ever seen, but I would say there's more positives than negatives.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. All right. This would be Russell's week to choose a wrestler. But since Russ is off growing a mustache and getting a tan, that would leave it to you to have chosen a wrestler, and I get all 9 questions. Have you chosen a wrestler?
I have. I am ready to go.
All right. Let me get my notes up here. All right. 1, male or female?
Male.
Okay. Are they currently wrestling?
Currently wrestling, yes.
Currently, yes. Okay. Are they currently in WWE?
No.
Are they currently in TNA?
No.
Are they currently in Lucha?
Yes.
Okay, in Lucha. I don't really want to waste that question, but is this a male?
Yes.
Wait, I already asked that. That was the first question I asked. I guess you have me stumped at Lucha because I really don't know. I know there's people that I know who are in Lucha, but off the top of my head, I only know like one person in Lucha. Shit. Alright, did this person hold any titles in WWE in the past?
Yes.
Is this John Morrison?
Yes.
Thank God, because I didn't know anybody else in Lucha.
Well, Chavo's there now. Rey Mysterio's on Lucha Underground now.
I knew about Chavo. I try to forget about Chavo. Ray, I'd forgotten about. I wasn't sure if Alberto had gone back or not. Like, how does Lucha work? Like, do they just film like their whole season in like one like month?
I believe.
Is that how?
I think it's like over the course of maybe a few days. They have this, I think, set in LA where they tape it. And it's mostly wrestlers from, I think, AAA that wrestle in the promotion.
So basically, they film like a season in a really short time. So if you're not in it for that short period of time, you're not going to get an opportunity for a year. Is that how it works?
I believe so.
I kind of like that. I mean, I imagine it makes for a pretty good payday to be involved. It makes sense, at least.
I was going to say, the only drawback is, let's say you want to leave and re-sign with another company, you have to wait until the season airs before you can do so. And I think that's something that Ricochet or Prince Puma is running into right now, because I don't believe he's re-signed with Lucha, or at least I haven't seen that he has.
Oh, yeah, I can see how the contract aspect would be tough. Does he wrestle with a mask?
Yes, he does.
I was going to say, like, I mean, I could see, like, if you wrestled in a mask, but, like, you weren't, like, hardcore, definitely had to wrestle in a mask. I could see that possibly altering things, like, if you were willing to not wrestle in a mask. But most Mexican wrestlers, you know, if they're a masked wrestler, they obviously like to stay masked, as is the culture. I don't know. I have Lucha. I have the first season. I just need to actually sit down and watch it. And I, like everything else in life, I put everything off. But I will get around to it. I at least acquired the video of it, so I'll get to it. And what, we're halfway through season two at this point?
No, I think they just finished the first half of season three.
Man, I am way the fuck behind. Oh, God, that's a lot of wrestling to get caught up on. Like, I don't even, like, want to go back and, like, watch. I keep putting off the Cruiserweight Classic and the UK tournament. That's an endeavor enough for me due to the vast amount of wrestling that we watch on a weekly basis. So, like, for me to go back and rewatch 2.5 seasons of Lucha or whatever, my God, that seems like an overwhelming task. But I think I want to do it.
It's worth it. It's really worth it.
I can't promise I'll try, but I'll try to try.
You're kind of doing the 205 Live thing that I do. I'm going to try to watch it. I really am. But I can't watch any more wrestling.
Seriously, it's even if there was no pay-per-views, 5 hours a week of wrestling is so much. Then you add 205, and then I insist on watching Talking Smack. That's 5.5 hours. And then you get a pay-per-view, which is another 3 to 4 hours. I love wrestling, but I don't know anybody that wants to watch that much wrestling. I really don't.
It's becoming almost a full-time job at this point.
It is. It's just too much. As a kid, I was like, oh, it'd be so great if, you know, I had instant access to all the old stuff. And then as a young adult, I'm like, I would pay so much a month to have access to all this stuff. And now I do. And now I'm like, wow, I don't want to make time to go back and just rewatch some old stuff that I want to watch. Because if I do that, I'm just going to stop watching the new stuff. And I, obviously, for blogging purposes and everything, I'm not going to stop watching the current stuff. But, man, it's tough. With that being said, you said you wanted to be done at 9:30. It's 9:30, and we can actually be done on a timely basis. So, you want to wrap this son bitch up?
All right. Let's go ahead and sign off, shall we? So, there you have it, everyone. Another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? And it has come to an end. Be sure to check out our blog at ninedeuce.com/wrestling. And on social media at the following locations.
And this is like a weird thing now that I'm actually using Instagram. I'm getting a ton of like follows and stuff. So apparently like we're doing something right. So on Instagram and Twitter, check out official 9deuce. That's the number 9 in the word deuce. And Facebook, it's facebook.com/9deuceblogs. And when all else fails, just go to fucking 9deuce.com. All that fun stuff. But seriously, like, Instagram's really kind of, I'm getting a lot of follows. And I think I did, like, a hashtag Kelly Kelly, so I'm getting, like, a lot of people named Kelly just, like, randomly, like, checking our stuff out. So there's that.
That is weird, yet very cool all at the same time.
I figured you would appreciate that.
Nice. Well, I guess with that being said, I guess we're going to have to say it. Say goodnight to everyone and talk to them next week. Night all. Yeah.